The ordaining of young men to the gospel ministry is not something that was created in the last century or two. The ordaining of young men to the gospel ministry took place back in the first century. New Testament churches, which are the pattern churches for our church, or should be for our churches today, at the church in Antioch in Syria, they laid hands in Acts chapter 13 on Barnabas and Saul, and who later became Paul, of course, set them apart for the gospel ministry. And they began their great missionary journeys, of course, and winning many souls and starting many churches. By the way, let me say this is an exciting thing because all the churches represented here tonight are involved in this endeavor to start churches in the state of Illinois. This past Thursday, we went to teach college, and Brother Caleb went along. He had done some work by phone in DeKalb, looking for buildings, maybe a storefront or building a Seventh-day Adventist church or something like that, a good place to start a church. We did not want to use the tent to start with. So he had made a few phone calls, and then he and we met with Brother Gomez, had some breakfast, and then talked just a moment. And then he and Brother Chambers, who's here tonight, Brother Mark, I saw you somewhere. Where are you? They're right back here. Went out to DeKalb and talked to a real estate agent who said, I can't help you, but let me give you the name of somebody that might be able to. And if I got this story right now, and then the second man, Gray, I believe his name was, he said, you know, I'm a pastor at Methodist Church, I believe you said. He said, you know, I started a church here some years ago. So let me give you the name of a guy who helped us. And so he said, gave the name of Larry Noble. Larry Noble has an office building. He's into financial counseling. He went to see Brother Caleb and Brother Chambers went over there. And a beautiful brick building. Is it one level in a basement or two levels? One level in a basement, beautiful brick building with white trim pillars and so forth. He says, beautiful, attractive building. And the man said, yeah. He said, I have downstairs, 2,500 square feet, four bathrooms, put all brand new carpet in. This is in the northeast corridor between DeKalb and Sycamore, where DeKalb is growing. Okay, the place where where it's growing, that direction is not in the old part of town. It's a very modern building, an attractive building. Three churches have started in the basement of this building and moved out. By the way, he'd asked about Baptist churches. Am I right now? Two Southern Baptists, one American, two American, and one independent. And he called the number of the independent church, and the voice message said, thanks for calling. Leave me a message. I'll call you back later. Click. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like anybody wants to do a whole lot for the Lord. Amen. I mean, no service, no service time, no thank you for calling, welcome to whatever the name of the church is, thanks for nothing, just, you know, thanks for calling, call you back. That was it. And so the only other Baptist there, Southern Baptist and American Baptist. And so this man said, yeah, I'll let you have it. You can have it 7 days a week. If you're here during the week, keep the noise down because we're counseling upstairs. You can have it on the weekend, make all the noise you want. And how about $700 a month? Do you understand, friend, that is one of the biggest hurdles in starting a church is finding a building that's affordable? $700. That's all utilities included in everything. $700 a month. Amen. We were shouting on the way home Thursday, man. It was a blessing. So we're excited. And Brother Gomez just told me about in McHenry a couple of his young men wanting to start a church up there, providing a place and so forth. So I believe this thing's going to pick up some momentum and get going and hopefully see something done for God in Illinois. Amen. And that's one of the Lord knows we need it. And no doubt about that. Amen. Of course, if our senator gets elected, all will be well, right? And we'll have a fine. I shouldn't get into this stuff, but coming to church tonight, you can't help yourself sometimes. Coming to church tonight, I got this silver-haired man and his wife. They had to be in their 80s, you know, and they got the elderly-looking LeSabre, you know, with the white LeSabre, and probably some young person has one here. Okay, so my wife's car is dead, and she told me, I don't want another LeSabre. I've been driving LeSabres all my life. That's an old lady car. I want something different. Here they got an Obama for President bumper sticker. And they had to be in their 80s. I'm thinking, what in this world? Oh, unbelievable. But anyway, I'm excited about the opportunity to get these churches started. And I don't know where I was when I started this. So I went with a real long circle here to come back to where I started from. And I don't know what the point I was making when I started talking road rage. That's right. But anyway. The church is ordaining young men to the gospel ministry, and I'm excited about us having a good independent Baptist college right here in our state, in Illinois, to train young men. All these men are graduates of Providence Baptist College, and we're so thankful for Rudy Gomez and his church and the step of faith they took, the financial commitment they took on to birth a college. It really is. It's that to a ministry, but I believe we'll see great things in the days ahead. I know our church has been blessed by those who graduated from there, and some of our own kids have gone there, many of them, and it's just a blessing to have the school here. I want to introduce the three men who are getting ordained tonight, and as I do, I'm going to introduce them in alphabetical order, one by one, and I want them to introduce the family members who are with them, who've come for the ordination tonight, to the folks in the auditorium. So, Mike Bragg, where are you sitting, Brother Mike? Right here. And y'all ladies, y'all can go sit down. We're not going to have anything. And I was looking for his wife. She's at the piano, filling in for our pianist today. Good. We're kind of glad to have Naomi home. Amen. That's a blessing. But she's filling in for our pianist today. All right, Brother Bragg, if you're a family member, immediate family or extended family member for Brother with Brother Bragg tonight, would you please stand? All right, if you're from there, we go. Brother Bragg, introduce. There you go. There you go. Introduce these folks to our church. Good and loud, if you would, please. They're in the balcony. Yep. Amen. God bless you. My wife has some flowers for you, Naomi. Y'all can be seated, and we want to present Naomi just a little bouquet of flowers tonight. God bless you, Naomi. Proud of you and what you've done for the Lord. Glad to have you home, young lady, and it's a blessing. God gave you a wonderful man for a husband, and I'm glad about that. So glad Brother Ed Bragg and his wife could be here tonight. Faithful servants of God, been at it for a long, long time. Pastor of Lafayette Bible Baptist Church, Brian Sharp's pastor. Now, you got a new appreciation for him, don't you? Amen. Brian Sharp's preacher. And so he takes care of Brian Sharp for us and tries to keep him straight and alive and healthy, right? So, and he'll be up to preach to us in just a little while. Thank you so much, Brother Mike. Brother Mick Hall and those who are here with him. Brother Mick, you and Leah stand, please. And the relatives on both sides that are here tonight, okay? Go ahead, Mick. Man, well, these folks are from Iowa, some of them, right? You came from Iowa. God bless you. Appreciate you. And Leah, my wife, has some flowers for you. And Brother Hockaday, it's a blessing to have this young lady here. We appreciate the investment you and your wife have made in her. She's been a great, great blessing to our school and our teenagers and our kids. Thank you so much. We're so excited to have them here. We're so excited to have a Hockaday on our volleyball team now. Amen. And not against us after all these years. So that's a blessing. And Brother Mike and Cindy, congratulations to you folks, good longtime friends. Blessing to have Mick here. I never dreamed your son would work here. It's amazing how that's just unbelievable. But been a real blessing to us. Great help as Mike has been as well. All right, very good. Brother Justin Leisure, right here. And all the folks that are with Justin tonight, would you please stand for a moment? All right, very good. Justin, introduce all your family to us. That's what a good wife's for. God bless you, folks. Amen. We're glad that you're here. Kim McCabe is a detective in our area. Works for Kankakee Police Department down there. Erica, Mrs. Woodward, has some flowers for you. Good to see you, folks, again. God bless you. Kim, we're so glad you're feeling better and doing well. Had a real bout with it, I know. I'm so glad God was good to you and all you folks. Erica, she's a real blessing to Justin. God did him a wonderful favor when he gave him to Erica to Justin. And his grandma and grandpa are a blessing to us. I can't tell you. Of course, grandma was already saved, but grandpa got saved as a result of just Justin getting into White and being over there. And They've been a tremendous blessing to our church, and so faithful. It's just amazing how God works, isn't it? Just absolutely amazing. So, Justin, God bless you. We're glad that you fellows are here. All of you ladies and men are here tonight. Now, we're going to have a testimony from these men. We're going to just take them, as we did just now, in alphabetical order. Let them say a word about their salvation and call to the ministry. We will not have any questioning. Their pastors are here. The men who taught them are here. Their dads, or two of their dads, are on the ordination council. We kind of know what these men believe, all right? And a lot of times you get in this questioning stuff, and somebody tries to, you know, make a show and ask some weird, crazy question and put a young man on the hot seat. I think that's the most stupid thing in the world. And I'll guarantee you, friend, I've been ordained for 28 years, and I still don't know it all. And you take a man fresh out of Bible college and ask these idiotic questions that have absolutely no purpose whatsoever other than just to show off. And we're not going to go through that. We know what they believe. We've already seen them in action. Amen. And so we're putting our stamp of approval on them as men tonight, and our churches will as well. So they're just going to give a testimony about their salvation. Call the priest, Brother Mike. We'll start with you, sir. Come on up and say a word tonight.
Brother Woodward already had me scared talking about aliens. We were talking about, he's going to say we have questions about aliens. So how Bigfoot's got to be in there. And if my dad's a part of it, the boogeyman's still in there. So so I know there's questions there. First of all, I want to say thank you all for coming, number one. I want to say thank you all. It's a very high honor for the three men just to be a part of this. I really, you know, people say, are you nervous? Yeah. I mean, I don't know that standing up here, nerves could quite explain what's going on. But I just want to say thank you. The first thing, say thank you to Faith Baptist Church. And I haven't got the chance to do this, so I want to say thank you all for welcoming my wife and I. It's been good. It's felt like home. And I enjoy being a part of the school. I enjoy teaching your kids. And I'm looking forward to the future. It's a high honor to be able to teach young people. It's a very high. I take that as not lightly one bit. It's a high honor. And you taught my wife and gave me my wife. That's important to me. I want to say thank you, preacher. Thank you to you. Staff, been like brothers already. I mean, it's been great. Been knit us close together. It's been great. Well, my testimony, growing up in a pastor's home all my life, thought I was saved at the age of 5. Really couldn't get that settled. Couldn't get it down. I had salvation secure, that I had it down. And it was February 26th of 2006 at Elgin. The Brother Gomez got on, do you know for sure where you're going when you die? Are you for sure where you're going? You know, not, you know, playing none of this stuff that you think you know. Do you know? Some of y'all, you think you know. You've been in church all your life, but do you know where you're going when you die? And he preached that message, and I got convicted. I was an usher in the church, folks. And I hit that back door. As soon as I hit that back door, I saw my wife coming. And we went down four and we got saved and baptized the same night. I didn't see her coming. As soon as she saw me, I didn't even know. We didn't even talk about it. We went forward, got saved, got baptized that night. I had been struggling. I remember, Brother Gomez, we went out fishing. I was a senior. And we went out on a fishing trip up in Minnesota. And he said, what about Bible college, Mike? I don't know about that. I'm fireman, maybe. You know, that's what I thought, really. Policeman, fireman, that's what I wanted to go into. That's what I thought the Lord wanted me to go into. He said, just try Bible college 1 year. I said, all right, I'll do it for 1 year. So I did. And Brother Hall got a hold of me. He said, what about come back next year? He said, what do you think? And another guy's preacher, Brother Woodward, Brother Ballard, I mean, just they all start nailing me from left and right. Said, what about that? What about Bible college? Go 4 years. Why don't you just finish? He started something. Why don't you just finish? And I said, okay. Okay. All right, I'll finish. So I finished. And I got the burden, just the burden for schools these days, Christian schools, and how the leadership is lacking in our Christian schools. And we need good, strong men as leaders to lead the next generation, folks. It's the next generation where it counts, you know. You know, I grew up in a great home. A lot of people didn't get the same privileges and rights that I did. And it's a great honor and a privilege to be able to teach. My prayer is we can lead some young men and some young ladies down the right path so they go off to Bible college, do the same thing, have the same exact opportunity that I had, and take that opportunity and run with it. That's my prayer. So, thank you.
All right, well, my name is Mick Hall. It's an honor to be up here. Very exciting. I was thinking a few weeks ago when we first got here, it was our first week here, Pastor Angel asked me to come up and pray. And I was thinking back, the last time that I was up behind this pulpit was for convention that many years ago. And I was excited, and it's just unbelievable that God would bless me enough to allow me to come and work in this place and work anywhere for that matter. So it's a blessing for that, and it's a blessing to have my wife, Leah. She truly is a blessing to me. But about my salvation, when I was 13 years old, I got saved at football camp for the Woodward. I raised my hand, I went forward, and I got saved. Several years later, like Brother Bragg at the revival, preacher was talking about making sure that it's nailed down, and I got the assurance of my salvation at that time. But going through high school for a while, I was excited about winning souls. I was excited about going soul winning. I made sure I got my gospel presentations and everything. But the older I got, I kind of got away from that. I kind of started looking not what God could do through my life and more of what I could do with my life and how I could please myself and what I could do. And God allowed a lot of things in my life to be brought to light. And I got in a lot of trouble. And through that, God was able to turn my life, and I made a decision that maybe God could do a little bit more with my life than I could.
Amen.
And so I decided that instead of doing some things that weren't necessarily wrong with my life, I decided that maybe I could do something with my life worth a little bit worth more. And so I decided to go to Bible college. Of course, my dad being the vice president, it wasn't an option just to come for a year. It was a lifelong commitment. Surprised he didn't make me go back for my doctorate or anything. But so it was exciting. Of course, going through camps and everything, whenever there would be an altar call for somebody to give their life to full-time Christian work after that point, I always felt a strong pull in my heart to do that and eventually someday possibly work at a church. While going through college, I always liked being the main person getting involved whenever there was a comment. I like making comments, but I was always nervous about being up in front of people. So I made sure my first semester I took a speech class with Brother Reed and learned how to just talk in front of people. And then, of course, I was forced up in front of here. So now I get to talk in front of everybody. But, of course, I enjoyed it in school. But through Bible college, I got more of a burden for young people. I got more of a burden to work with young people, whether it be in a school or in the youth department somewhere. And God has allowed me to be able to work here at the church in both the school and in the youth department. So it's been a great blessing. And that's my testimony, that I got saved, got that nailed down, and then God put a burden in my heart to start working full time.
Many of you may not know, I was actually born and raised in this area. At the age of 14, I went over actually just kind of a ways across town to Grace Baptist Church and Academy for high school. I went there as a good kid, but a lost kid. And I sat there my freshman year, and they have a revival every year that lasts a week. And on that first week, I got up at that pulpit and preached, red-faced, leather lung, and something I'd never heard before. And the Lord began to work in my heart. And I didn't know what was going on. Here I am, 14 years old, and I'm crying next to all these guys I'm supposed to be in school with. I'm thinking, man, what do they think of me? I'm the new kid, and I'm soft. And that preacher gave an invitation at the end, and I didn't go forward. I was too prideful to walk forward. And I got through that, and I wiped the tears out of my eyes, and I sat back down. And by the time I got home, though, I realized what I had done. I'd messed up. And I didn't know that I could take care of it any other place. All I knew was, man, I got to get back there tomorrow. Well, thank God the Lord gave me a cop for a daddy, so he drove me in safe the next morning. And all through the night, my heart was burdened. And I sat down in that same service. He got up and preached the same way. And this time when that invitation was given, I shot off that pew and I ran down that aisle. Went down and I met my principal right down there, and he said, "What do you need?" And I said, "I need to be saved." And I went back in a room in the back, and my science teacher led me to the Lord there that day. And I ended up graduating high school there. Truth of the matter is, I never really got too much grounded in the Word of God. I read it occasionally. I never got grounded in church. I never even baptized. I simply, you know, I learned at the school, and I was somewhat spiritual, but I just wasn't grounded in anything. And when I graduated from there, I lost all Christian influence in my life. I wasn't in church. And I simply just began to do what I knew to do. And I never necessarily so wicked, but yet I wasn't living for the Lord. And through a myriad of circumstances and transferring and working different things, the Lord brought across my path a man who was a fundamental independent Baptist. And he invited me to his church, and I went, and I heard that same type of preaching. And I heard that same burning thing begin to happen in my heart. And I knew, you know what, this is what it was supposed to be like. Because I tried to find some churches and things, and I just couldn't find anything that seemed to make sense. And I'm like, you know what, this makes sense. And I sat down, and I began to go to that church. It wasn't long. I got baptized, and that preacher began to help me with some things. And it was simply a Lord began working in my life. And on a Sunday morning service, I'm sitting in the pew. And that same spirit began to work in my heart again. And God was calling me to preach. And at the end of that Sunday morning service, I walked the aisle and I surrendered. And God at that time put a burden in my heart to start a church somewhere, sometime. And it wasn't long after that that the Lord moved me down to First Baptist Church in Dwight. And it's there that I got grounded and got active and began serving the Lord. And again, just the preacher's influence in my life, I couldn't even begin to tell you. The direction and the help and the blessing he's been. But through that, obviously, he led me to go to Providence Baptist College, where I learned under many of these men that are here tonight, and I'm so thankful for that. And Brother Gomez, thank you for your burden and for standing and leading your people the way that you have. And truth of the matter is, as I stand here tonight, and I'm a product of Pastor Woodward. I'm a product of First Baptist Church Dwight. Each and every one of you that came tonight, thank you.
Amen.
Without each and every one of you, there's a good chance I could have just went back and done what Justin had always done. But you all loved me, and you accepted me, and you helped me, and you served with me. And I can't begin to thank you all. The only thing I know to do to thank First Baptist Church Dwight and to thank my preacher and Brother Gomez and Brother Angel and all these men that have invested in me, Brother Hall, all the every evangelist, the only thing I know to do is to serve God with all my heart and to do His will. That's all I know to do is a thank you. And when it's all said and done, we'll kick back in heaven and we'll shout it out and rejoice at what God did with a bunch of old, mixed up, messed up sinners.
I enjoyed those. Amen. I could hear those again. That was a blessing. Every one of those was from the heart. That wasn't scripted. That was from the heart, and that well spoken tonight. Thank you so much, fellas. God bless you. It's a real honor to have my good friend, our good friend, Brother Keith Gomez here tonight. I mean that. And I asked him if he'd come. I didn't put any pressure on him. He has been in his pulpit now for a while, taking care of Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. He canceled all of his engagements for this year, and some with some very good friends. And just felt like it would be best for him to stay close to home and with his church. But when we told him it was an ordination service for these fellows coming out of the college, he said, "Oh," he didn't hesitate. He said, "I'll come. I'll be there for the boys." And really, outside of a service on a Wednesday night down I believe San Antonio, Texas, this is about the first time he's been in a pulpit other than his own since his precious wife went to heaven the end of January. And preacher, we prayed for you. people in this church, people from in this room here, from all over these churches, have prayed for you and love you deeply, and so honored that you'd come tonight. You come on, say a few words for us tonight. God bless you, amen. Appreciate you. Amen, brother. God bless you.
I want to say thank you so much for your prayers for me and my family. I certainly appreciate that. I'm thrilled about your building. When I drove up and saw it, it's so beautiful. And thank God that God's been so good to y'all and blessing this wonderful place. It's so good to see so many friends, and thank you for praying for me. I'm very nervous in other people's pulpits anymore. You pray about that. I'll get over that eventually. I spent 26 years of my life on the road every week. For 26 years, I can assure you that I'm not nervous in other people's pulpits, but I just, something about it, I've never preached without her. And it's different. So I appreciate these young men. Wasn't that good, them speaking? I don't know about you, but I couldn't speak like that when I was their age. I was scared to death of folks. I went to LSU, and I took a speech class, and I remember I was up to speak, and I was so nervous. There was some hippie protest going on outside, so I went and joined it. I really did. I'm serious about it. I protest. I'm not quite sure what we're protesting, but I was right with them, man. I didn't want to give a speech, and of all things, God called me to preach. You know, I've been preaching now against buggy pushers. About you men that wash dishes and vacuum floors. I've been preaching that for 26 years. And I am one. God Almighty knows, I went to the store yesterday. Yesterday. Or Friday, and I was praying, Holy Spirit, would you please lead this cart? Now, I don't push a buggy because I preach again. I pull a buggy. There's the difference. And so the Lord led me to exactly all the stuff I need. Now, some of you don't understand this, and some of you men that are not understanding this, you bother me. I don't know where anything's at in the store. I've never been shopping in my life. So, I mean, I'm lost. But the Holy Spirit led me to each item I needed. Well, listen, folks, I'm 55. I don't want to be 60 before I get out of the store. You know what I mean? So I'm getting directed, and I got all that stuff and got out of there quick. Amen. But I'm pushing buggies. Brother Bragg, I'm washing dishes. I'm vacuuming the floor. I'm folding my own underwear. God help me. Everything I preach against, I'm doing. So the Lord has a sense of humor. These young men are wonderful young men, aren't they? I'm so proud of each and every one of them. They're precious indeed. I want to give them something, a little gift tonight. Brother Hall, if you'll bring me one of those, please. It's called a Preacher Survival Kit, Ministry Survival Kit, and I want each one of them to receive one of these right now, Brother Hall, if you would, please. In this survival kit, it has some things that you men are going to need, and so if I can get mine, I'm going to kind of go through some of those with you, if you would, please. Now, you don't have to open yours. You can take them home. What you need to do is take them to your office and put them on the shelf, and every now and again remind yourself what's in them. The first thing I want to say, if you're going to make it in the ministry, you're going to have some of these, some diapers. Now, you say, why? Well, just listen to me a little while. You're going to have to understand that some of the people you're going to minister to are going to never grow up.
That's right.
They're going to make a mess out of everything, and you're going to have to keep putting diapers on them.
Right.
It's getting quiet in here now, but that's all right. But as long as you have them, I talked about it this morning, about the Israelites wandering that wilderness 40 years. God had to diaper them for 40 years. And so you're going to have that, and that's something you're going to need. Not everybody's going to be that way, but there's some that's going to never, ever grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. So you guys are going to have some of that. Just keep you a good supply, and you're just going to handle that. I'm looking at some out here now. Right now, they're getting kind of finicky and a little squirmy right now. Probably they need a change. The next thing you're going to need, guys, is you're going to need to get one of these because you're going to wear a lot of hats. If you're going to minister anywhere and be a servant anywhere, you're going to have to wear a lot of hats. Whatever the preacher asks you, if you're working for a man of God, whatever he asks you to do, you need to do.
Amen.
Shut up about your qualifications. Shut up about your title. Get it done. If you need something cleaned up, clean it. If you need to clean the toilet, you're going to have to wear a lot of hats. You ought to get you one of those. If you're going to survive in the ministry, you're going to have you one of those. I don't like specialize anything. Whatever the preacher asks you to do, you do. And then if you ever become leader to the thing, you're going to still have to do some of that on your own. Just because you have a title doesn't make you anything.
Amen.
Servant is the greatest title
right.
You'll ever have. Not only that, you're going to need some of this right here. You're going to need some Tylenol. Tylenol. That's what's in your bag. You ought to remember that. Survival kit, if it ever gets to the point, you just break it open and you're going to make it. You're going to need this because you're going to have a lot of headaches in the ministry. Hey, by the way, if y'all want a big hype message for these young bucks that are all all full of spunking vinegar, somebody better tell them the truth about the ministry.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you. Some of the folks are going to give you some headaches.
Yep.
You're going to have to take some of this Tylenol.
Yeah.
Keep some Tylenol. You can get stronger stuff. That's fine. You're going to have to get you a Noopy. If you don't get a Noopy, now this is for baby Christians who just get, say, baby converts. You're going to have to keep sticking that in their mouth until they grow. And when they grow up, you take that out and you take this off and you put pull-ups and then you graduate. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being honest. Bless God, I pastored 26 years. You think I don't have nothing to say? I'm telling the truth about it. It is a shame how many people you pastor and they just never going to grow up. You're going to have to do that. But you want to take that out of their mouth. It'd be a shame to see a 30-year-old man with that in his mouth. But your new converts, you're going to have to baby them, love on them a little bit, get them to the point to grow. If you don't do that, you're going to be in tremendous amount of problems. Now, also, you'll need one of these, and especially most of you guys, all of us here, been in ministry, you'll need a sewing kit. Because every one of you going to split your britches sometimes during your ministry. You're going to do something that's just really off the wall. You're going to split your britches. Now, your preacher will help you sew them up, and he may even help you split them. But I promise you that you're going to need some of those. Every preacher in this room that's honest with God had to use this at some point in his life. A sewing kit. Even after we've been in it a long time, we still use them a little bit. You need one of these, just look at it every now and again. Because you're going to need loyalty. Ain't nothing loyal like a hound dog. He can whoop him, and he'll still come by and wag his tail and lay down by your feet. You're going to have to are y'all listening to me? You're going to have some loyalty. That stuff is not bought. It's given. You're going to have loyalty like them old hounds do. Not only that, but you're going to need this in your survival kit. You're going to need to have a heart. If you lose that, this is what we're losing in our fundamental ranks. We're losing our heart. For sinners, we're having losing our heart for the ministry. You're going to have a heart. You're going to have a heart full of patience. You're going to have to be patient with these people right here. You're going to have to be patient with these people right here. You're going to have to wear all these hats and sometimes be patient because you're going to think, bless God, somebody else ought to do it. But sometimes you're going to have to have patience. Not only that, you're going to have compassion, great compassion. Great compassion. Loving everybody. Not just those you like, but even those unlovely that you don't like. Compassion, you're going to have to have compassion. Not only that, but you're going to have some mother in you. Have a heart of a mother. If you don't understand that, only pastors understand what I just said. Because you're going to have to love like a mother sometimes. Only a mother can love the unlovely. If you're going to be in a ministry, you're going to have to love the unlovely at times. You're going to have to understand that. Not only that, I thought just a while ago about you're going to have a bunch of these. I just opened my Bible. I saw three of them in here. You're going to have a lot of those. Because there's a lot of tears in the ministry. And before God Almighty ever uses any three of you, he's going to have to break you. 256 preachers were polled in 2 years, in a 2-year period of time, 24 months. Over 200 of them had fallen. A lot of tears in the ministry. A lot of tears. 1 out of 10 ever make it. Preach a little along that line this morning. Paul said, I finished my course and I've kept the faith. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. There's a lot of guys that come shooting out of the block, but they never finish anything. It's not how you started off as a young person, it's how you ended up as an old man. And this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's going to take time. You pace yourself and you go and you serve, and one day you'll be standing here and you'll have young preacher boys sitting out there that you'll be ordaining. Very proud of all three of you men. Y'all did a wonderful job when y'all were in our presence. And kept your testimony and kept your faith. I want you to continue to do so. Remember your survival kit. Brother Gomez said you're going to need one. I promise you. I told a preacher out of North Carolina, called me yesterday. I told him that we were going to ordain you guys, and I told him about my little survival kit, and he started weeping on the phone. He's been there 18 years, got a big church. He said, well, somebody would have done that in my ordination. He said, everything you covered, he said, never got it in Bible college. But you're going to need those things right there. You're going to laugh one time. You're going to sit in your office. You're going to look at the survival kit, and you're going to need one of those things.
That's right.
So remember that. I love you, men. God bless you. Welcome to the fraternity of the free, one of the greatest fraternities in all the world. No politician will ever experience what you're experiencing.
That's right.
The greatest high honor and high office in the United States of America is the ministry. I know your parents are very proud, and you should be. It's a wonderful thing. Have your children serving the Lord full time.
Yep.
I bless you, Brother Angel. I love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
God bless you. Amen. That's wonderful. Thank you for so much. Amen. I think I need one of these. Amen. I'd like to have a bag like that. That'd be a help. That's very practical, folks. And a lot of men will get up and make a big, speech and try to show off a little bit of Bible knowledge, but that was very, very practical, very helpful. Let's stand together. Please give me a chance to stretch your legs a little bit. While we get ready to hear from Brother Bragg, you've been sitting for a while. Let's sing a cappella. Down at the cross where my Savior died. How about glory to His name tonight? Amen. Let's sing it. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Singing. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. You know the second stanza, I am so wondrously saved from sin. Amen. Let's sing it. I am so wondrously saved. Sure, Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Let's sing it. Glory to His name. And glory to His name. There to my heart but applied. Glory to His name. Thank you. Be seated. It is Him that makes all this possible. We never ought to forget that. Brother Ed Bragg is Mike's daddy. Been at Lafayette Bible Baptist Church for a number of years now. Faithful servant of God. And he's going to come and share with us for a little bit tonight from the Word of God, a challenge to the hearts of these men. Brother Bragg, God bless you. So glad you're here.
Thank you, Brother Gomez, for that practical application. I hope when I finish tonight, I won't need that sewing kit. Amen. Thank you, Brother Angel, Dr. Angel, for the opportunity to preach tonight. I do feel like I am the least of the least here. I appreciate the opportunity, a great opportunity, to preach to these men. Thank you, Brother Angel, Brother Hall. Thank you for training your son and my son for the ministry. Thank you. I appreciate it very greatly. I very much. I appreciate it. Brother Woodard, thank you for coming. Bring your people. Thank you for the influence that you've had on my boys and boys across this country. The football camp. Thank you. My two nephews are graduating this week from Bible college because they got saved at the football game a few years ago. Thank you, Brother Woodward. I appreciate it. Brother Bryant, God bless you. Thank you for your faithful service to your preacher. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. What a testimony you are to many men across this country. Brother Gomez, thank you. Thanks for coming tonight. Thank you for your godly influence, the great influence you've had on our cause, the cause of Christ, the great leader you are. And we hurt with you, but we thank you for being an example to us. God bless you, and we love you. My job tonight is to preach this ordination service. I was told I have 6 minutes, so I'll read my sermon as quickly as I possibly can. And I will read as much as possible, because if I don't, I have a tendency to get long-winded. So you can say amen right there, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Would you stand with me? We'll read one verse, and then I'll have prayer. Be seated. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse number 2. In fact, in this particular, the chapter prior to this, I have a message that Dr. Gomez preached last year, I believe it was. No character, no conviction. No conscience. What a tremendous message that was. And that is. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. My job tonight is to preach the ordination service of Mike, Mick, and Justin. I pray that you'll pray with me as we look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank you most of all, above all, for my salvation. I thank you that you saved me. It's amazing. The grace of God is amazing. I thank you. Thank you for saving these men. I pray now that you'd help us as we deliver the Word of God. Speak to our hearts, we pray. God, we ask you, we beg you, we plead in Jesus' name. For thy sake we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. Fellas, we have to have preachers that will preach God's Word fearlessly, faithfully, forthrightly, with truth. That's what we need today. Men of God, stand and preach the Word. The Word of God must be your standard for salvation and living. It must be your standard for salvation and living. You must have a hold of the Word of God and know for sure when you die you're going to heaven because you have a Bible reason. I thank God the day that Mike called me and said, I got saved, Dad. I called Brother Gomez and I said, thank you. Thank you. I'd always wondered. Tried to pin him down. But it has to be the Holy Spirit of God using the Word of God, squeezing the heart of a man, saying you're unsaved. Thank God for your testimonies, fellas. You know you're saved. The Word of God must be your standard for salvation and living, holding forth the Word of life, that they may rejoice in the day of Christ, that you have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, holding forth the Word of God. The Word of God must be your standard for salvation. The Word of God must be your means for separation. Stand on the Word of God. Don't be afraid of that. We're old-fashioned separatists. Be one. Amen. By the way, you ought to be Baptist until you die. Amen. The Word of God must be your means of separation. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, then he may be ashamed. The Word of God must be your means of separation. Number 3, the Word of God must be your supreme authority. Let the Word of God speak for you. Preach the Word. Let it be your supreme authority. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I suggest to you, fellas, if Jesus had to use the Word of God in His life, how dare we think we can do anything less than use the Word of God in our lives? The Word of God must be our standard for salvation, our means for separation, and it must be our supreme authority. My preacher used to say this, you must spend time in the Word of God because you cannot know God from a distance. Listen carefully to that statement. You must spend time in the Word of God because you cannot know God from a distance. You must know Him up close. I didn't spend much time with Dr. Hiles like these men did, but I did have a senior appointment with him, and I said, Brother Hiles, what's the key to your to the ministry. How do you? What's the key? He said, spend a lot of time alone. A lot of time alone. It's just you and God sometimes. And the hats that Brother Gomez was talking about switching. When you're talking, you're normally talking to the Lord about it. Lord, what do you? How can you help me? What can we do? And so forth. Spend time alone. Sometimes God allows that so He can get some time with you. Amen. Now here's the message tonight. Keep the charge we give you. Keep the charge. Keep the charge. 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other man's sins. Keep thyself pure. Keep the charge. 1 Timothy 6:14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. By the way, the only way that you're going to keep these charges that we give you tonight is in the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it in your flesh. You must depend much on Him. Keep the charge that we're giving you tonight. Keep the charge. By the way, let me just say this. Good thing I heard your testimonies, because He's keeping our salvation. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. God's keeping you, so you keep His charge. Keep thyself pure. Number one, keep yourself pure in your finances. Keep yourself pure in your finances. Fellas, I'm going to mention three areas of your ministry that you must guard with your life. You must guard. First one is your finances. Keep your finances pure. How you make your money, how you spend your money, how you pay your bills. That's how the world will see you. They'll say, hey, that's that preacher down there that never pays his bills and always wants a discount and never pays on time. My father-in-law owned a business, lumber business, for many years. And there was one particular preacher in the area. Unfortunately, it was a Baptist preacher. And because of that, preacher would come in and always gripe about not getting the discount, not getting the tax off. And I'm not saying you ought to work the deal, and I'm not saying you ought to go for the best bargain. I'm not saying that at all. But you ought to realize when you're trying to witness to somebody and somebody's lost, and they pick up on that. And he wouldn't pay his bills on time. He's always griping about money. My father-in-law was a lost man and had little to say good about a preacher. Let me tell you something. The last person in the world that he wanted his daughter to marry was a preacher. We have our wedding pictures. My mother's smiling. My wife is smiling. I'm smiling. My father and mother-in-law. I can't believe she married a preacher. That came from a preacher who did not handle his finances properly. Finances. Keep your finances pure. Listen carefully. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the fact that you have it. It's the fact that you covet. And by the way, here's what I found. People that don't have it doesn't mean they're not coveting. Usually they don't have it because they are coveting. Control your finances. We live in a world of debt up to our necks, and people are hindered for the ministry because of finances. Fellas, listen to me carefully. Keep your finances pure. Keep them pure. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Listen carefully what God says. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Nothing is more burdensome. Nothing is more burdensome to a preacher than finances. It'll wear you down. Listen carefully what God says. They have erred from the faith. I have heard Brother Gomez said many times, and I've repeated it. I don't care what Mr. Fat Wallet says. I'm preaching the truth. Amen. Keep your finances pure. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. Paul said this. He said in Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. This verse is talking about finances. He said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. You know why sometimes God doesn't give us money? because we don't handle it properly. You've had great teachers. You've had great teachers. Brother Gomez, Brother Angel, Brother Woodward. These guys have taught you well. Learn from them. I know how to live on nothing. I know how to have whatever God gives me in abundance. I've handled it, Paul said. I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and to suffer loss. The very next verse says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We love to quote that verse, but it's applicable to finances. That's what it's talking about. That same chapter, verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Finances. Keep your finances pure. Number two, keep your family pure. Keep your family pure. Fellas, let me tell you something. You're a husband. You're a Christian first. Then you're a husband. Your command, and never forget this, is to love your wife. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You're commanded to love your wife. She ought to be the love of your life. Never Some fellow asked me this week, said, Preacher, what do you do if you get an email from a woman? I said, I'd tell my wife right away. And I said, if it's a church member, they ask me a Bible question, I'll answer it. Or a missionary's wife and wanting some information about the church, I'll answer it. But I always tell my wife.
Yes, sir.
Every time. Immediately.
Right.
If, fellas, I'm tired of hearing preachers falling because they got on a stinking internet.
Right.
I'll tell you, I'll take a knife and cut your fingers off.
Yeah,
get off that thing. And if somebody writes you of a woman, tell your wife, have your wife answer. Just get away from it. Love your wife. Love your wife. My preacher used to say this. He said, if I lose my wife in a divorce, I've lost my ministry. He said, if I could get another ministry, I can't get another wife. Husbands, love your wives. Don't get so busy earning your salt that you forget your sugar. Amen? Make her your best friend. Let me tell you this. I'm here today and have been at Lafayette Bible Baptist Church for 21 and a half years because I've got a wife who stood behind me. Amen. Naomi, Leah, and Erica, you are cheerleaders. You're cheerleaders. When he did split his britches, tell him it's the best sermon that you'd ever heard. My wife always says that's a good sermon, Ed. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, forgive her for lying. I know that was a rotten sermon. I come home sometimes and I get discouraged. I'm telling you, I was a great survival kid. I wish I'd had that 21 years ago. I get discouraged. My wife has two questions. She never preaches to me. She just has two questions. She says, number one, she says, have you prayed about it, Ed? And I said, I'm so stinking mad right now. I don't want to pray. What are you talking about? We're not talking about being spiritual here, lady. And the other question she says is, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Truth be known, many of us would have backed out a long time ago if it wasn't for a wife standing behind us. Saying, keep going. Keep going, son. Keep going. Fellas, love your wives. Love your wife. Don't ever forget her. Keep your family pure. Number two, love your children. Your father. Look, you have to teach your children. Ye fathers, listen carefully, fellas. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Your job is to teach your children. I say, my job was, when I went to Lafayette Bible Baptist Church, my first and foremost job was to love my wife and teach my children. That was an example I could give to my church. Teach those kids. Fear, nurture and admonition. One's negative and one's positive. I don't know which one was which, so I just gave them a little positive and a lot of negative. Amen? I thank God for all three of you fellas. I've coached two of you, yelled at all of you, and paddled one of you. Probably not as much as I should. What a privilege to be a dad. Men in my church whose wives can't give birth to children. Mother's Day rolls around, pretty tough on them. Father's Day rolls around, pretty tough on them. Don't forget your children. They're part of your ministry. Make them, you know, I really believe this. The reason why our children are in the ministry is because when we were bus visitation, when bus visiting, we all went. They saw how others lived. And they saw the grace of God work in others' lives. My children heard more cuss words in junior church than they did any other place. Hate to tell that, but that's true. Harry Heineman. You remember Harry Heineman? Whoa. Ask Greg Harris about Harry Heineman sometime. You say, preacher, what do? You treat him as a child. You teach him. You say, now, baby or bud, that's not the way we talk. It's God's house. We love God's house. And that fella didn't have the same opportunity you have. You teach him. Your family devotions. I tell you, in the ministry, that's tough. Keep your family pure. Deuteronomy 6:6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign on thy hand, and thou shalt be at the frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Our daughter got saved when she was 14 years old at a family devotions. She thought she was saved, and we were going through some spiritual warfare stuff and some things, inventory, just seeing if you... And she said, Daddy, I'm not saved. Family devotions. Keep your family pure. Keep your finances pure. Number three, keep your fellowship pure. Keep your fellowship pure. Fellowship with the Lord. Walk with Him. Learn to know Him. People say, who's your boss? I say, God is. He's my boss. Fellowship with the Lord. Micah 6:5. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered. Says that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn of my transgression and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Your first and foremost job is to fellowship with Him. Spend time alone with God. Walk with Him. Fellowship with Him. That'll help you. I'm telling you, that'll help you. God intended you. God is interested in your success in the ministry. But He created you to fellowship with Him. And He wants you. That's what He wants. Don't close any hallway of your heart to God. Leave every door open. Let Him see every closet, every passageway, every nook and every cranny. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with other men of God. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. What a blessing to sit in the service tonight, hear Brother Terry Angel speak, be with Brother Dan Woodward, be with Brother Keith Gomez. These men went to the same college that I went to. Be here tonight with them. As Brother Gomez said, you're in a fraternity of free. What an opportunity. Show me your friends today and I'll show you where you'll be tomorrow. Fellowship with the good men of God. Fellowship in the right kind of books. Show me the books you read today and I'll show you your philosophy tomorrow. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with the men of God. Number three, fellowship with those whom you minister to. I like what Brother Gomez said. There are no professionals. We're all servants. We had a missionary come by one time, and he said, they're from different college, won't mention it. And his wife said, the missionary's wife said, where we come from, music is queen and preaching is king. My daughter leaned over to me and said, where I went to college, we were taught there are no kings and queens, we're all servants of God. Amen. Amen. Fellowship with those you minister to. The ministry's not a job, it's a life. It's a life. It's a life. It's not a job. It's a life. Mike and Mick never discipline any student without a tear in your heart and many times in your eye. Not without going, be courageous and do what you have to do. But let me tell you something. Go to your office and beg God to say, where did I fail? Walk humbly. Have that heart that Brother Gomez was talking about. Compassion will make the difference.
Yes, sir.
Hey. Brother Leisure, never lose a bus family or a family of the church without going to your office or your home or your prayer closet, bowing your head and weeping out to God and saying, God, what could have I done better? Or did I do all I could do to keep them? There'll be those that you have to diaper and pat on the back and lift up and do all that you can do. Have their hurt in your heart. By the way, have their joy in your heart. I was reading through this message and I was thinking about the young people that I had back in school when I was a principal. Mark Siegbert. Mark Siegbert stood in our pulpit and he said, my name is Mark Siegbert. I have to introduce myself to Brother Bragg because he saw the other end of me more than he did see my face. Mark Siegbert at our Christian school would have been the least likely to succeed. He and his wife now are missionaries to Mongolia. His brother Charles, missionary to Uganda. His brother Mac is missionary to Ghana. Students of ours back in Milford. Young lady by the name of, her name escaped me. I see her face. Marcia Daniel married a fellow named Josh Blair. They're now missionaries with Jews up in New York City. Dan Barnes, a pastor down in Nicholasville, Kentucky. Man, names just run through my mind as I was thinking about this. And some of those folks were my friends. I ministered to them and taught them. We became close. Let me tell you something. Thank you. I appreciate your heart for your churches. Faith Baptist Church and First Baptist Church. Let me tell you something. You're working with some of the best, I believe. Thank you, Brother Angel, Brother Woodward, Brother Gomez, for the time you put into these fellas. Being a preacher is a high and holy calling. Keep your finances pure. Keep your family pure. Keep your fellowship pure. One preacher called our house late at night. 11:30 on Wednesday or on Sunday, Saturday night, and he said, "Can I talk to your husband?" My wife answered the phone. I was already in bed. I heard her say, "Well, he's in bed." He obviously said, "Well, I need to talk to him." And so I was getting up, didn't hear the rest of the conversation. I said, "Debbie, what did he say?" He said, "Don't you wish your husband had friends that called at a normal hour?" I think my wife had the best response. She says, "My husband has no normal friends. They're all preachers." Welcome to the fraternity, fellas. I want to say a word to the churches before I close. First Baptist of Bourbonnais, or Faith Baptist of Bourbonnais and First Baptist of Dwight. Thank you for treating your pastor right. Men wouldn't want to go into the ministry if they see their preacher going through the mire and muck that many pastors have to go through. Thank you for treating your pastor well. First Baptist of Dwight, thank you for treating your pastor well. You have men in the ministry because they see your preacher. And as Brother Justin already said, he's the example. You're treating him well. Therefore, men say, "I'll do what God wants me to do." Thank you, churches. Brother Bryant, God bless you.
Amen.
Churches, thank you for treating your assistant pastors right. These men aren't perfect, but they are now entering into a new fraternity. Treat them as men of God. Treat them right. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to speak. God, please help these men to keep themselves pure. Lord, there's too many preachers in the ministry, deadbeat, lay out, not doing what they need to do. Father, please, we pray that they would follow the example of their pastors. Father, I pray they'd follow the example of Brother Gomez, Brother Hall, Brother Bryant, these men. Lord, I pray, help them to keep themselves pure and keep the charge we're about to give them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Tell you what, That was one of the most outstanding ordination messages I've heard. Very to the point, very plain, very practical, very helpful. I tell you, he said some things that could be very, very helpful to these young men as they get started. I hope you listen to pay attention. That was a wonderful message from a man who's been there and proven himself. Thank you, Brother Bragg, for that. We're going to stop just for a minute. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I don't know if there's somebody here tonight that is going to get baptized, Brother Caleb. No, not here. I'm sorry. Membership. Okay, we'll take care of that of another night. Then we won't have to do that tonight. I'm going to forego the invitation. Let me just say, I probably should give an invitation. And I'll tell you what, more than these three men, but every man in this building could have got something out of what was just said. That wasn't just for preachers. That was just good stuff. Keep your finances pure. Keep your family pure. Keep your fellowship pure. Well, he said a ton. He said a couple of powerful statements there at the end. Show me show me what books you're reading. And I'll tell you what your philosophy will be tomorrow. That's a tremendous statement. And so I hope you paid attention to that, young man. God bless you. And, you know, if the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, you know, talk to Him about it. Deal with the Lord about it. That was excellent, excellent message. Not only for these three young men, but for all of us as servants of God. Now, the practice of ordaining laying on of hands, the laying on of hands began, of course, in the book of Acts, as men were set apart to the gospel ministry. Many of you have observed that before, and we're going to take a moment and do that. Now let me introduce to you the men that are on the council. You've already, of course, myself, Brother Gomez, Brother Hall, Brother Woodward, Brother Bryant, and one more, Brother Bragg. Yes, right behind me here, Brother Bragg, of course, the six of us. And what we'll do is we'll ask these men in just a moment to come, and I'm going to have Justin to kneel over here, and I'm going to have Brother Mick to kneel right here, and Brother Mike to kneel right over here. And we're going to divide up, and the six of us will pray for them individually. It won't be terribly long, and you're certainly welcome to sit and watch. You don't have to bow your heads in prayer. You can watch the laying on of hands. And if your family members have cameras and you want to take advantage of the opportunity to snap a picture, you'd be sure and go ahead and do that. One day, years ago, some men of God laid hands on us. And I'm not going to preach tonight, but I'll just say one thing before we pray. Romans says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And no going back. Amen. You're in it through the thick and the thin, fellas. All right. I like what Dr. Wendell Evans said. He said, Christianity is not measured in days, but in decades. Decades. And you'll be faithful. Take that survival kit. Take what this good man said to you tonight. And you'll be surprised how quickly it'll pass. And you'll look back. And it'll be 20, 25, 28 behind you. And that's what you want someday. So you're in. Stay in. Be right. God will use you. Justin, if you would, over here, if you'd kneel right over here, please, sir. Brother Mick, if you'd kneel right here. And Brother Mike Bragg on this side. And then, fellas, we're divided up two and two and two here. And, church, you may sit and watch, and we're going to pray for God's blessings on these men. You're on my left. It's a precious, precious moment in a young man's life when ordained pastors and servants of God lay their hands on them. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that was in him that came upon him upon the laying of the hands of the presbytery. Just pray that God will use these young men's lives for His glory. Amen. No matter where that will may lead, that they'll bring honor and glory to His name first and foremost. We have a certificate tonight for each of these men and a brand new Bible signed by all the men that are on the council. Your certificate is signed by the fellows that are on the council as well. This is a good old King James 16:11. It's the old inspired and preserved Word of God. If it's not inspired, why would we have preservation? What good is preservation if there's no inspiration? If you want to know if that book is alive, friend, all you got to do is ask, how long is Adam alive? Because God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul, and God breathed these words. And they don't die. They live. If this book is not alive, then what are we doing out soul winning with it? Why are we preaching it? It's a living book, fellas. It's not the living Bible version. It is a living book. Quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. As Brother Bragg so ably proclaimed tonight, hold it high. The ordination certificate reads, to all churches and Christians everywhere, greetings. Michael Joseph Bragg was set apart to the ministry of the gospel of Christ at Faith Baptist Church, and is hereby cordially commended everywhere as a minister of Christ by the order of Faith Baptist Church of Bourbonnais, Illinois, dated May 4, 2008, and signed by the six men on the council. Brother Mike, God bless you, sir. Brother. Stand right over there, Mike, if you would, okay? Very good. And this certificate, ordination certificate, to all churches and greetings everywhere, to all churches and Christians everywhere, greetings. Michael Christopher Hall was set apart to the ministry of the gospel of Christ at Faith Baptist Church, hereby cordially commended everywhere as a minister of Christ by the order of Faith Baptist Church in Bourbon, Illinois, dated May 4, 2008, signed by the six men on the council. Brother Mick, God bless you, sir. Stand over there, okay? Ordination certificate to all churches and Christians everywhere. Greetings, Justin Leisure was set apart to the ministry of the gospel of Christ at Faith Baptist Church, hereby cordially commended everywhere as a minister of Christ by the order of First Baptist Church of Dwight, Illinois, dated May 4, 2008, signed by the six ordaining pastors. We have Mr. Justin. Amen. How about a hand for our ordained candidate? Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Amen. Thank you, fellas. Be seated. God bless you. Now, we're going to have some fellowship over in the gymnasium. And no matter where you're from, up north, across the way over here west, we have enough for you. I want to dismiss the ladies in our church and Brother Jason to go over, make sure everything's ready to go. And that didn't sound good. Yeah, amen. And get ready to go over there. Those of you ladies that are helping us in the gym, we have some cake and pop. That's about it tonight. And I'm sorry there's no hamburgers or anything like that, but there's some cake and there's just a reception over there. Stay in fellowship for a while and shake hands with these men. We'll have a little. There's a special table there with them. And we didn't set tables to sit up, just some chairs to sit around and fellowship. Stay as long as you want to and leave when you need to and so forth. My good friend, what a blessing. The pastor, 35 miles from a good, dear friend in the ministry. Brother Woodward, of course, Brother Justin's pastor. He's going to come, and Brother Woodward, say a word if you want to, and then dismiss us in prayer. Pray for the food, and then we'll dismiss the folks. I'll dismiss them after you're done. God bless you, bud. Amen.
Let's stand to be dismissed. I want to thank you, Faith Baptist Church, for your friendship. It's been very dear to us. Brother Gomez, you and your church, very dear to us.
Yeah.
First Baptist Church, thank you for coming and being tonight. What a crazy first time in 23 years we've never had a Sunday night service at our church. Shut her all down, brought it over here, and I wondered if anybody would show up, and I looked around and it blessed my heart.
Amen.
I appreciate you armed men at the door that took all the tithe and offering this morning and made sure they handed me a note that enough came in. Amen. We made our budget.
Amen. Amen.
That was a good thing. I'm just teasing. Thank you so much for the lovely evening. We're so proud of these young men. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for a place we can gather together in America and ordain some young men to go out and do the work of the ministry. Father, bless these young men. Guide and direct and help them. Father, may they always look back to those who love them and care about them. And Father, we thank you for the fellowship tonight of God's people. What a beautiful thing fellowship is.
Yes.
Father, bless tonight as we gather together with friends and family and loved ones. And Father, we thank you for all that we're about to partake. And Father, I pray that you give safety to those who have to travel home. And we'll just give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dan. God bless you. Let's let the fellows, the three fellows, their wives and family members slip out first, okay? And make their way over to the gymnasium. They're not going to be a receiving line or anything like that. It's not a wedding, all right? So just go by and shake hands with them. Look them up somewhere. Do us a favor, if you would. If you have a child in the nursery, please go by and get the child out and take the child with you to the gymnasium before you go to fellowship, all right? Be sure and do that. And our church right here, we will announce the winning Sunday school classes. How about, let's do it next Sunday night, Brother Caleb. That'd be okay. Next Sunday night, we'll announce the winning, so you've got to be in suspense. There was only 300 points apart from those first two classes in the adult ranks, so we'll see next week who came out on top. All right. Very good. Thank you for coming tonight. God bless you. And the gym is available for some fellowship and reception. You're dismissed. Bye-bye. Thank you. the ordaining of young men to the gospel ministry is not something that was created in the last century or two. The ordaining of young men to the gospel ministry took place back in the first century. New Testament churches, which are the pattern churches for our churches, or should be for our churches today, at the church in Antioch in Syria, they laid hands in Acts chapter 13 on Barnabas and Saul, and who later became Paul, of course, set them apart for the gospel ministry. And they began their great missionary journeys, of course, and winning many souls and starting many churches. By the way, let me say this is an exciting thing because all the churches represented here tonight are involved in this endeavor to start churches in the state of Illinois. This past Thursday, I went to teach college, and Brother Caleb went along. He had done some work by phone in DeKalb, looking for buildings, maybe a storefront or building a Seventh-day Adventist church or something like that, a good place to start a church. We did not want to use the tent to start with. So he had made a few phone calls, and then we met with Brother Gomez, had some breakfast, and then talked just a moment. And then he and Brother Chambers, who's here tonight, Brother Mark, I saw you somewhere. Where are you at? Right back here. Went out to DeKalb and talked to a real estate agent who said, I can't help you, but let me give you the name of somebody that might be able to. And if I got this story right now, and then the second man, Gray, I believe his name was, he said, you know, I'm a pastor at Methodist Church, I believe you said. He said, you know, I started a church here some years ago. So let me give you the name of a guy who helped us. And so he said, gave the name of Larry Noble. Larry Noble has an office building. He's into financial counseling. He went to sit, Brother Caleb and Brother Chambers went over there, and a beautiful brick building. Is it one level in a basement or two levels? One level in a basement, beautiful brick building with white trim collars, pillars and so forth. He says, beautiful, attractive building. And the man said, yeah, he said, I have downstairs, 2,500 square feet, four bathrooms, put all brand new carpet in. This is in the northeast corridor between DeKalb and Sycamore, where DeKalb is growing, okay? The place where where it's growing, that direction. It's not in the old part of town. It's a very modern building, an attractive building. Three churches have started in the basement of this building and moved out. By the way, he'd asked about Baptist churches. Am I right now? Two Southern Baptists, one American, two American, and one independent. And he called the number of the independent church, and the voice message said, thanks for calling. Leave me a message. I'll call you back later. Click. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like anybody wants to do a whole lot for the Lord. Amen. I mean, no service. No service time. No thank you for calling. Welcome to whatever the name of the church is. Thanks for nothing. Just, you know, thanks for calling. Call you back. That was it. And so the only other Baptist there, Southern Baptist and American Baptist. And so this man said, yeah, I'll let you have it. You can have it 7 days a week. If you're here during the week, keep the noise down because we're counseling upstairs. You can have it on the weekend. Make all the noise you want. And how about $700 a month? Do you understand, friend, that that is one of the biggest hurdles in starting a church is finding a building that's affordable? $700. That's all utilities included and everything. $700 a month. Amen. We were shouting on the way home Thursday, man. It was a blessing. So we're excited. And Brother Gomez just told me about in McHenry, a couple of his young men wanting to start a church up there, providing a place and so forth. So I believe this thing's going to pick up some momentum and get going and hopefully see something done for God in Illinois. Amen. And that's one of the Lord knows we need it. And no doubt about that. Amen. Of course, if our senator gets elected, all will be well, right? And we'll have a fine. I shouldn't get into this stuff, but coming to church tonight, you can't help yourself sometimes. Coming to church tonight, I got this silver-haired man and his wife. They had to be in their 80s, you know, and they got the elderly-looking LeSabre, you know, with the white LeSabre, and probably some young person has one here. Okay, so my wife's car is dead, and she told me, I don't want another LeSabre. I've been driving LeSabres all my life. That's an old lady car. I want something different. Here they got an Obama for President bumper sticker. And they had to be in their 80s. I'm thinking, what in this world? Oh, unbelievable. But anyway, I'm excited about the opportunity to get these churches started. And I don't know where I was when I started this. So I went with a real long circle here to come back to where I started from. And I don't know what the point I was making when I started talking. Road rage, that's right. But anyway. The church is ordaining young men to the gospel ministry, and I'm excited about us having a good independent Baptist college right here in our state in Illinois to train young men. All these men are graduates of Providence Baptist College, and we're so thankful for Rudy Gomez and his church and the step of faith they took, the financial commitment they took on to birth a college. It really is. It's that to a ministry, but I believe we'll see great things in the days ahead. I know our church has been blessed by those who graduated from there. Some of our own kids have gone there, many of them, and it's just a blessing to have the school here. I want to introduce the three men who are getting ordained tonight, and as I do, I'm going to introduce them in alphabetical order one by one, and I want them to introduce the family members who are with them who've come for the ordination tonight to the folks in the auditorium. So, Mike Bragg, where are you sitting? Brother Mike, right here. And y'all ladies, y'all can go sit down. We're not going to have anything. And I was looking for his wife. And she's at the piano, filling in for our pianist today. Good. We're kind of glad to have Naomi home. Amen. That's a blessing. But she's filling in for our pianist today. All right, Brother Bragg, if you're a family member, immediate family or extended family member with Brother Bragg tonight, would you please stand? All right, if you're from there, we go. Brother Bragg, introduce. There you go. There you go. Introduce these folks to our church. Good and loud, if you would, please. They're in the balcony. Yep. Amen. God bless you. My wife has some flowers for you, Naomi. Y'all can be seated, and we want to present Naomi just a little bouquet of flowers tonight. God bless you, Naomi. Proud of you and what you've done for the Lord. Glad to have you home, young lady. It's a blessing. God gave you a wonderful man for a husband, and I'm glad about that. So glad Brother Ed Bragg and his wife could be here tonight. Faithful servants of God. Been at it for a long, long time. Pastor of Lafayette Bible Baptist Church. Brian Sharp's pastor. Now, you got a new appreciation for him, don't you? Amen. Brian Sharp's preacher. And so he takes care of Brian Sharp for us and tries to keep him straight and alive and healthy, right? So, and he'll be up to preach to us in just a little while. Thank you so much, Brother Mike. Brother Mick Hall. And those who are here with him. Brother Mick, you and Leah stand, please. And the relatives on both sides that are here tonight, okay? Go ahead, Mick.
All right, first is my wife, Leah. Over on the side is my father-in-law, his parents, Nick and Alicia, his sister, and Bessie, his sister. Here's my dad and my mother. My uncle, Gary Dean, and my grandparents.
Amen. Well, these folks are from Iowa, some of them, right? You came from Iowa. God bless you. Appreciate you. And Leah, my wife, has some flowers for you. And Brother Hockaday, it's a blessing to have this young lady here. We appreciate the investment you and your wife have made in her. She's been a great, great blessing to our school and our teenagers and our kids. Thank you so much. And we're so excited to have them here. We're so excited to have a Hockaday on our volleyball team now. Amen. And not against us after all these years. So that's a blessing. And Brother Mike and Cindy, congratulations to you folks. Good longtime friends. Blessing. Have Mick here. I never dreamed your son would work here. It's amazing how that's just unbelievable. But been a real blessing to us. Great help as Mike has been as well. All right, very good. Brother Justin Leisure, right here. And all the folks that are with Justin tonight, would you please stand for a moment? All right, very good. Justin, introduce all your family with him to us. That's what a good wife's for. God bless you folks. Amen. We're glad that you're here. Ken McCabe is a detective in our area. Works for Kankakee Police Department down there. Erica, Mrs. Woodward, has some flowers for you. Good to see you folks again. God bless you. Ken, we're so glad you're feeling better and doing well. Had a real bout with it, I know. I'm so glad God was good to you and all you folks. Erica, she's a real blessing to Justin. God did him a wonderful favor when he gave him to Erica to Justin. And his grandma and grandpa are a blessing to us. I can't tell you. Of course, Grandma was already saved, but Grandpa got saved as a result of just Justin getting into White and being over there. And they've been a tremendous blessing to our church, and so faithful. It's just amazing how God works, isn't it? Just absolutely amazing. So, Justin, God bless you. We're glad that you fellows are here. All of you ladies and men are here tonight. Now, we're going to have a testimony from these men. We're going to just take them, as we did just now, in alphabetical order. Let them say a word about their salvation and call to the ministry. We will not have any questioning. Their pastors are here. The men who taught them are here. Their dads, or two of their dads, are on the ordination council. We kind of know what these men believe, all right? And a lot of times you get in this questioning stuff, and somebody tries to, you know, make a show and ask some weird, crazy question and put a young man on the hot seat. I think that's the most stupid thing in the world. And I'll guarantee you, friend, I've been ordained for 28 years, and I still don't know it all. And you take a man fresh out of Bible college and ask these idiotic questions that have absolutely no purpose whatsoever other than just to show off. And we're not going to go through that. We know what they believe. We've already seen them in action. Amen. And so we're putting our stamp of approval on them as men tonight, and our churches will as well. So they're just going to give a testimony about their salvation. Call the priest, Brother Mike. We'll start with you, sir. Come on up and say a word tonight.
Brother Woodward already had me scared talking about aliens. We were talking about, he's going to say we have questions about aliens. So how Bigfoot's got to be in there. And if my dad's a part of it, the boogeyman's still in there. So so I know there's questions there. First of all, I want to say thank you all for coming, number one. I want to say thank you all. It's a very high honor for the three men just to be a part of this. I really, you know, people say, are you nervous? Yeah. I mean, I don't know that standing up here, nerves could quite explain what's going on. But I just want to say thank you. The first thing, say thank you to Faith Baptist Church. And I haven't got the chance to do this, so I want to say thank you all for welcoming my wife and I. It's been good. It's felt like home. And I enjoy being a part of the school. I enjoy teaching your kids. And I'm looking forward to the future. It's a high honor to be able to teach young people. It's a very high. I take that as not lightly one bit. It's a high honor. And you taught my wife. You gave me my wife. That's important to me. I want to say thank you, preacher. Thank you to you. Staff, been like brothers already. I mean, it's been great. Been knit us close together. It's been great. Well, my testimony, growing up in a pastor's home all my life, thought I was saved at the age of 5. Really couldn't get that settled. Couldn't get it down. I had salvation secure that I had it down. And it was February 26th of 2006 at Elgin. The Brother Gomez got on, do you know for sure where you're going when you die? Are you for sure where you're going? You know, not, you know, playing none of this stuff that you think you know. Do you know? Some of y'all, you think you know. You've been in church all your life, but do you know where you're going when you die? They preached that message, and I got convicted. I was an usher in the church, folks. And I hit that back door. As soon as I hit that back door, I saw my wife coming. And we went down four and we got saved and baptized the same night. I didn't see her coming. As soon as she saw me, I didn't even know. We didn't even talk about it. We went forward, got saved, got baptized that night. I'd been struggling. I remember Brother Gomez, we went out fishing. I was a senior. And we went out on a fishing trip up in Minnesota. And he said, what about Bible college, Mike? I don't know about that. I'm fireman, maybe. You know, that's what I thought. Really, policeman, fireman. That's what I wanted to go into. That's what I thought the Lord wanted me to go into. He said, just try Bible college 1 year. I said, all right, I'll do it for 1 year. So I did. And Brother Hall got a hold of me. He said, what about come back next year? He said, what do you think? And then other guys, preacher, Brother Woodward, Brother Ballard. I mean, just they all start nailing me from left and right. Said, what about that? What about Bible college? Go 4 years. Why don't you just finish? He started something. Why don't you just finish? And I said, okay. Okay. All right, I'll finish. So I finished. And I got the burden just the burden for schools these days, Christian schools, and how the leadership is lacking in our Christian schools. And we need good, strong men as leaders to lead the next generation, folks. It's the next generation where it counts, you know. You know, I grew up in a great home. A lot of people didn't get the same privileges and rights that I did. And I just, it's a great honor and a privilege to be able to teach them. My prayer is we can lead some young men and some young ladies down the right path so they go off to Bible college, do the same thing, have the same exact opportunity that I had, and take that opportunity and run with it. That's my prayer. So, thank you.
All right, well, my name is Mick Hall. It's an honor to be up here. Very exciting. I was thinking a few weeks ago when we first got here, it was our first week here, Pastor Angel asked me to come up and pray. I was thinking back, the last time that I was up behind this pulpit was for convention that many years ago. And I was excited, and it's just unbelievable that God would bless me enough to allow me to come and work in this place and work anywhere for that matter. So it's a blessing for that. And it's a blessing to have my wife, Leah. She truly is a blessing to me. But about my salvation, when I was 13 years old, I got saved at football camp, Brother Woodward. I raised my hand, I went forward, and I got saved. Several years later, like Brother Bragg at the revival, preacher was talking about making sure that it's nailed down, and I got the assurance of my salvation at that time. But going through high school for a while, I was excited about winning souls. I was excited about going soul winning and made sure I got my gospel presentations and everything. But the older I got, I kind of got away from that. I kind of started looking not what God could do through my life and more of what I could do with my life and how I could please myself and what I could do. And God allowed a lot of things in my life to be brought to light. And I got in a lot of trouble. And through that, God was able to turn my life, and I made a decision that maybe God could do a little bit more with my life than I could.
Amen.
And so I decided that instead of doing some things that weren't necessarily wrong with my life, I decided that maybe I could do something with my life worth a little bit worth more. And so I decided to go to Bible college. Of course, my dad being the vice president, it wasn't an option just to come for a year. It was a lifelong commitment. Surprised he didn't make me go back for my doctorate or anything. But so it was exciting. Of course, going through camps and everything, whenever there would be an altar call for somebody to give their life to full-time Christian work after that point, I always felt a strong pull at my heart to do that and eventually someday possibly work at a church. While going through college, I always liked being the main person getting involved whenever there was a comment. I like being making comments, but I was always nervous about being up in front of people. So I made sure my first semester I took a speech class with Brother Reed and learned how to just talk in front of people. And then, of course, I was forced up in front of here. So now I get to talk in front of everybody. But, of course, I enjoyed in school. But through Bible college, I got more of a burden for young people. I got more of a burden to work with young people, whether it be in a school or in the youth department somewhere. And God has allowed me to be able to work here at the church in both the school and in the youth department. So it's been a great blessing. And that's my testimony, that I got saved, got that nailed down, and then God put a burden in my heart to start working full time.
God bless you.
Many of you may not know, I was actually born and raised in this area. At the age of 14, I went over actually just kind of a ways across town to Grace Baptist Church and Academy for high school. I went there as a good kid, but a lost kid. And I sat there my freshman year, and they have a revival every year that lasts a week. And on that first week, I got up at that pulpit and preached, red-faced, leather-lunged, and something I'd never heard before. And the Lord began to work in my heart. And I didn't know what was going on. Here I am, 14 years old, and I'm crying next to all these guys I'm supposed to be in school with. I'm thinking, man, what do they think of me? I'm the new kid, and I'm soft. And that preacher gave an invitation at the end, and I didn't go forward. I was too prideful to walk forward. And I got through that, and I wiped tears out of my eyes, and I sat back down. And by the time I got home, though, I realized what I had done. I had messed up. And I didn't know that I could take care of it any other place. All I knew was, man, I got to get back there tomorrow. Well, thank God the Lord gave me a cop for a daddy, so he drove me in safe the next morning. And all through the night, my heart was burdened. And I sat down in that same service. He got up and preached the same way. And this time when that invitation was given, I shot off that pew and I ran down that aisle. Went down and I met my principal right down there, and he said, "What do you need?" And I said, "I need to be saved." And I went back in a room in the back, and my science teacher led me to the Lord there that day. And I ended up graduating high school there. Truth of the matter is, I never really got too much grounded in the Word of God. I read it occasionally. I never got grounded in church. Never even baptized. I learned at the school, and I was somewhat spiritual, but I just wasn't grounded in anything. And when I graduated from there, I lost all Christian influence in my life. I wasn't in church. And I simply just began to do what I knew to do. And I never necessarily so wicked, but yet I wasn't living for the Lord. And through a myriad of circumstances and transferring and work and different things, the Lord brought across my path a man who was a fundamental independent Baptist. And he invited me to his church, and I went. And I heard that same type of preaching. And I heard that same burning thing begin to happen in my heart. And I knew, you know what, this is what it was supposed to be like. Because I tried to find some churches and things, and I just couldn't find anything that seemed to make sense. And I'm like, you know what, this makes sense. And I sat down, and I began to go to that church. It wasn't long. I got baptized, and that preacher began to help me with some things. And it was simply a Lord began working in my life. And on a Sunday morning service, I'm sitting in the pew. And that same spirit began to work in my heart again. And God was calling me to preach. And at the end of that Sunday morning service, I walked the aisle and I surrendered. And God at that time put a burden in my heart to start a church somewhere, sometime. And it wasn't long after that that the Lord moved me down to First Baptist Church in Dwight. And it's there that I got grounded and got active and began serving the Lord. And again, just the preacher's influence in my life, I couldn't even begin to tell you the direction and the help and the blessing he's been. But through that, obviously, he led me to go to Providence Baptist College, where I learned under many of these men that are here tonight, and I'm so thankful for that. And Brother Gomez, thank you for your burden and for staying and standing and leading your people the way that you have. And truth of the matter is, as I stand here tonight, and I'm a product of Pastor Woodward, I'm a product of First Baptist Church Dwight. Each and every one of you that came tonight, thank you.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Without each and every one of you, there's a good chance I could have just went back and done what Justin had always done. But you all loved me, and you accepted me, and you helped me, and you served with me. And I can't begin to thank you all. The only thing I know to do to thank First Baptist Church Dwight and to thank my preacher and Brother Gomez, Brother Angel, and all these men that have invested in me, Brother Hall, all the every evangelist, the only thing I know to do is to serve God with all my heart and to do His will. That's all I know to do is a thank you. And when it's all said and done, we'll kick back in heaven and we'll shout it out and rejoice at what God did with a bunch of old, mixed up, messed up sinners.
I enjoyed those. Amen. I could hear those again. That was a blessing, every one of those.